Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I think we need to put the hashtag TBT on that. Open that musical montage from a long time ago. Do you know that this is year number 9? And we're late now in year number 9. In fact, this is the last weekend of September. And it's not even a full September weekend. It's already fall of 2023. October is Sunday. What? Jay, I don't know how it happens that it feels like time is crawling, and yet it's October. How is that possible? How did we get to October? And why do I feel like that this is the longest year in the history of time, the history of the human race, and yet it's October?
I got to say, when I was writing the podcast write-up yesterday and writing the date, 9/28, I was like, oh, I feel like football just started, yet it's the end of September.
It's already week four.
Like, it's going so slow, but so fast. I agree. It's tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know how it is that time can go so fast and also feel as though it's just a snail's pace at the same time. And I know it's all about our perception, and when we want something to happen or waiting for something to happen, it can feel like forever, and yet it's almost October and we're into week four of the NFL. And not just that, but the baseball postseason starts in days. I'm not ready. Are you ready? Wait, are we ready?
Well, so I think so, but
you think so?
I think so. I feel a little ready, honestly.
I don't know what that means. What's a little ready, Jay?
It's better than not ready. How's that?
Well, ready or not, here it comes. How's that?
I was watching Rangers hockey earlier tonight.
It's fake hockey.
It's preseason, but still, I mean, like, the fact that there's hockey on, you know, basketball's coming. We were talking Damian Lillard the other day, and I was like, oh, wow, yeah, basketball's coming. It's all happening.
Well, and there were a bunch of press conferences on Thursday with coaches, players, stars who are returning and getting ready for NBA training camp. No, I'm definitely not ready for that. You can keep your hockey and your hoops because I am not ready for that. Not even remotely ready. And yet October is the one month. This is one of the reasons why I tell you it's by far the busiest month of the year in the sports broadcasting industry, or just sports industry in general, because it's the only one in which all four major pro sports are playing at the same time. It's all four of them. But it's not just those four. It's MLS, it's the WNBA, it's the Ryder Cup, it's college football. We're right smack dab in the middle of the cone of silence. No, that doesn't even work. It's not silent in my brain or in sports.
Cone of loudness.
I'm trying to think of a good way to. We're in the middle of the. It's the fulcrum.
I love that. We'll go with that.
October is the fulcrum. Oh my goodness! It's total insanity. Thank goodness most of the wedding plans are in place. In fact, all the vendors are booked, and really, there's not a whole lot that I need to do or that Bob and I need to do right now. Small things, but nothing major. The major stuff is done until we get to about 3 weeks out. But it does feel as though there's this calm before the storm for some reason. I don't know why. There still is a lot to be decided this weekend in Major League Baseball. And obviously we have one of the most high-profile regular season games that we could ask for in the first month. And no, I do not mean Chiefs and Jets. It doesn't matter if Traylor's going to be there or not. I do not mean Chiefs and Jets. It blows me away that Sunday is October and we're about to launch into the Twilight Zone. Which is better, the Twilight Zone or the Fulcrum? I think the Fulcrum.
I like the Fulcrum. I mean, I love the Twilight Zone. Big fan of the show, but the Fulcrum works.
Are you? I would feel like the Twilight Zone would be long before you.
It is, yeah, but I love like film and stuff in black and white. So like old Westerns from like the 30s, 40s, I love those too.
Well,
so,
I don't think Twilight Zone was in black and white, was it?
A lot of them were.
Yeah, really?
The earlier ones, yeah.
That part I don't remember. The Fulcrum defined the point on which a lever rests or is supported and on which it pivots. Oh, yeah. October is the point on which all of sports pivots. Or how about this one? This is another definition of fulcrum. A thing that plays a central or essential role in an activity, event, or situation. Oh, that's definitely October. It's central to all four sports, but also MLS, the WNBA playoffs, college football, the Ryder Cup now. Plus, I am the girl who is a shill for all things pumpkin. I actually put out my fall hand towels on Thursday.
Did you?
In advance of Bob's visit. Yes, I decided I would get a little. I haven't decorated the whole house yet. Oh, I still have one of those little, you know, those little gourds every year that you can buy it at the grocery store or at a farmer's market or whatever. I have one that is still sitting in my, it's on my plant table. It's in my utility room where I keep plants. And it never did go bad. It's still left over from last year. It's perfectly preserved.
Decoration.
Ooh, maybe in carbonite. Maybe it's preserved in
it's
carbonite.
Possible.
Anyway, so that decoration never went away. And I put out my fall hand towels. It's close.
Oh, it's here. I mean,
it is. In fact, I've been drinking pumpkin spice coffee for about 3 weeks now.
Yeah, you've been on it for a little bit.
I have. I can't help it. I love fall. It's my favorite season of the year. Until we get to winter and then it snows, and that's my favorite season of the year.
The snow is the best. We didn't get nearly enough snow in the Northeast last year, or in the New York area at least.
If we could take all the rain we've had this summer and turn that into snow for the winter,
oh my God,
I would be in heaven. And Ophelia still has not moved. For those of you who are looking at Friday in the Northeast and thinking, yay, or even Saturday when Bob and I are supposed to climb the stairs to the crown of the Statue of Liberty. It's his first time going to the Statue of Liberty. He's never been before. He's really excited. We have tickets to the crown. That was his birthday gift. We have to wait until the weather clears out because Ophelia is expected to drop another 2 to 4 inches of rain in the Northeast on Friday alone. And October's coming. All of that and October's coming. Wowzers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Love to connect with you on Twitter, ALAW Radio, or on our Facebook page too. You've got a couple new videos up on YouTube, so check those out. Definitely easy to find, named after the show, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. I would be thrilled to talk about week 4 in the NFL. And we want you to vote for the After Hours game of the week. What is it? Few votes already coming in. I hate to tell you, Producer Jay, but one of your selections has gotten 0 votes so far.
This was
tough. We kind of felt like the deck was stacked this week against the rest of the field.
There was a clear juggernaut in this mix.
It's one of those questions. Do you take Tiger Woods or do you take the field?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Do you take Tom Brady and the Buccaneers or do you take the field? In this case, do you take Dolphins and Bills or do you take the field? I hope it's not a bad game. That would stink. If it was a tough, if it was a bad game, it would stink. Speaking of bad games, this is what the Dolphins did to the Broncos last week, as if Denver wasn't already the butt of the NFL jokes. But to lose by 50 and give up 70 points, a franchise record, 10 touchdowns, all that came against the Denver defense. Little bit embarrassing for Vance Joseph, who's back as the defensive coordinator.
Well, it was obviously, it wasn't good. You know, and when your unit plays that way, you know, my first thought is it's me, you know, and, you know, doing better as a coach and getting guys ready for the challenge. You know, it was a tough day from play one to play whatever we played. But, you know, as a coach and as an experienced coach, when those days happen, you know, it's always, you know, in my opinion, me first. You know, and I'll fix it quickly.
I appreciate the accountability from Vance Joseph, former head coach of the Denver Broncos. Didn't result in a positive experience for him or for the Broncos, but he's a great defensive coordinator. And now he's back under Sean McVay as the DC in Denver for another tour of duty. And here are the Broncos having started 0-3. I will guarantee you this. You're not going to see Broncos Bears in the after hours game of the week poll. Do you think people would stop taking our polls if we put Broncos and Bears in there?
I think it'd be a little bit of deterrent.
Would we be accused of trolling people if we put Broncos and Bears?
That would be a little trolly. Yeah. I mean, that game's horrible.
Hey, someone's got to win, though. That's the thing. They're both 0-3, and someone's got to. Okay. No, if there's a tie in that game, I will believe it's rigged.
0-0.
I will believe it's rigged. We're going to preview Buffalo and Miami, and we'll do that coming up next hour. We'll do some QB news at the back half of this hour and use that as a lens through which to view week number 4. We've also got some injury updates, which I think are critical. Especially as we ask you to vote for the game of the week, you should know who's playing and who's not playing. We've learned that Cooper Kupp likely isn't going to return this week, but is on track for week 5. So that's good to know for the Rams. You know what's going to be a major question mark heading into his debut, though? How do the Rams split targets and receptions and really split the workup among Cooper Kupp and Tutu Atwell and
I love Puka Nacua.
Thank you. Sorry. I don't know why I blank. I didn't blank. It said it wrong. Whatever. Talking's hard sometimes. Puka Nacua. If you say it like 7 times really fast, it sounds foreign after a
while. Puka Nacua.
Nice. That's just wrong. But he's a volume guy. And he already has a great rapport established with Matthew Stafford. Basically, because as long as Matthew puts the ball in his vicinity, Nacua catches it. But Cooper Kupp was an MVP a couple years ago and a Super Bowl MVP. And he and Matthew Stafford, they were extremely productive in Matt's first year in L.A. So that'll be an interesting question, but not likely to affect this week. The Rams are taking on the Colts, that one at Lucas Oil Stadium. Austin Eckler, the other L.A. team, he's trying to get healthy. He wants to be out there. And the Chargers get their first win last week against the Vikings, but they need him. They're going to keep pace in the AFC West and really the AFC overall. They need Austin Eckler back on the field.
It's at a point where it's like, okay, let's test it every single day, see how manageable it is. And when it gets to the point where it's like, I can get on the field, and then whatever time that is at, that's obviously when I'll be ready to go. And so if that's this week or if that's next week after the bye, then, you know, we'll see.
Now, he admits that while he's practiced, he hasn't yet pushed himself 100%. And he's dealing with a high ankle sprain. Same thing as Saquon Barkley also dealing with a high ankle sprain. Though what we'd heard from the Giants is that his ankle wasn't nearly as bad as what you generally would get or expect from a high ankle sprain. So maybe he didn't have a severe high ankle. But Austin Ekeler is keeping his options open for week four, but hasn't been able to push himself all the way yet. Man, it's been such a wild ride for running backs already this season. Just consider some of the storylines around running backs, okay? And we know the offseason narrative about that position was the devaluing, the refusal of owners or teams to pay the running backs in most cases, not all, but in most cases, the franchise tags that were slapped on guys like Tony Pollard, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, the resistance. Oh, actually, the running backs coming together as a group. When does that ever happen? Forming the resistance. I'm a big fan of anything that has to do with Star Wars. They were forming the rebellion, and they were all speaking out for one another. Jonathan Taylor, he goes on IR because, and I just don't believe he's injured. If he is, he's still able to play, even if he is injured. But Jonathan Taylor, not with the Colts. Took Dalvin Cook forever to find a job. Kareem Hunt only gets work again after Nick Chubb gets hurt. And there are the injuries, too, that have really been a storyline in the first month for running backs. Aaron Jones, Austin Ekeler, David Montgomery, though he comes back to the tune of 3 touchdowns on Thursday night. Saquon Barkley, another high ankle sprain. Nick Chubb out for the season. It's been a ton of guys, It's been a bunch of guys injured already. And so it's been a roller coaster ride for that position. Christian McCaffrey, he's healthy and making the impact that we know he can. He's the league's highest paid running back. But what about Derrick Henry? Completely rendered ineffective by the Browns last week. And even before that, Mike Vrabel having to defend Henry's position in the offense and whether or not he was still critical to the Titans offense. Derrick Henry. We know life comes at you fast in the NFL, but it's warp speed at running back. Ezekiel Elliott, he was also a man without a country for quite a while. Ends up with the New England Patriots, and now he and the Pats will head into Dallas, Arlington, and Jerry's World to face his former team, the team that drafted him, the Cowboys.
It's cool. You know, it's cool going back to Dallas. Spent a lot of time there. It's a lot of great times there, but I mean, out there you got to keep the main thing, and that's, you know, going out there, getting better as a team and going out there and get another win. I'm very appreciative for the time, you know, I spent in Dallas. You know, I'm very thankful for, you know, Mr. Jones and the Jones family, you know, drafting me and giving me an opportunity. But, you know, once again, I'm focused on going and getting the win.
Both the Cowboys and the Patriots are looking for a win this week. Not, and of course, every team is. Don't misunderstand me here. But the Cardinals, they were able to score early and often against the Cowboys last week, that vaunted defense. And we know that Mike McCarthy said, hey, it was a tough week. We went through a lot. We've been through a lot. But they've got to right the ship quickly because that's a tough division. You've got the Eagles who are still 3-0. You've got the Commanders who are 2-1. And those two teams meet this week. But Jay, not a single vote yet for that game in the after hours poll. Why? No one cares about Commanders and Eagles?
Maybe it's like a tortoise in the hare situation.
You think?
Just give it some time. It'll
develop. It's a slow burn.
It's a slow burn.
Commanders and Eagles, clearly not the center of the fulcrum. At least not according to you. Yeah, it's it's a dire, I think it's a dire need for both of these teams, Patriots and Cowboys. And I'm not going to go as far as to say that it's a must win because we're just not there yet. But considering the divisions for each of these teams, the AFC East and the NFC East, if you're the Patriots, you can't afford to fall to 1-3. They just got their first victory last week. And if you're the Cowboys, you can't drop back-to-back games.
Get me some oxygen.
Did you consider, by the way, Producer Jay, putting Patriots and Cowboys into the Game of the Week poll?
Or
you know what? How much consideration did you give
it? A little bit. I felt we needed a little more NFC, though. I know the Cowboys, but...
That's true. Yeah. We could probably fill out this poll every week with nothing but AFC.
Probably.
But we feel like that's unfair. So we did balance it this week. I wanted to vote for Commanders Eagles, but I didn't. I felt like I'd be a sellout if I did that.
I'm going to have to.
You're just a sympathy vote? It's a sympathy vote?
I don't like the goose egg. It's bothering me.
So take the After Hours Game of the Week poll. It's on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. It's also on my Twitter. And it runs actually all the way through Sunday until just about kickoff for the early round of games. It's on our Facebook page as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our YouTube channel, it's got not one but two videos now to answer your wedding questions. I feel like we've covered most of it, but not all of it. That's the funny part. Jay, I don't want to give anything away, but how did I shock you? I shocked you.
You gave me a response I was not anticipating. And I really out of left field. Out of like the bleachers, upper deck bleachers.
From the nosebleed seats?
Nosebleeds, parking lot even.
All right, so I won't give anything away, only that... You have to watch the two videos to get your wedding questions answered. There were a couple stipulations. There were a couple questions that were off limits. Wait until I tell you Bob's reaction to the second video.
He's watched it?
Oh, yes. He loved the first video. He said it was a lot of fun to see me so excited talking about the wedding. His mom also loved it. I don't think my mom even knew there was a video. Thanks, Mom. But the second one, it was a little more, well, we started out with a little more of a personal narrative about Bob. And so I wanted him to see it. So he did. And he sent me, well, it was a text that was a bit of a mixed reaction. I'll just say that. Yeah. Yeah. So.
That's a little cryptic.
I know. I'll have to tell you what he said. All right. So you can find that on YouTube as well. Ryder Cup is ongoing. And in the early stages, got to tell you, Team Europe is leading all four matches. There are four foursomes on the course right now, and all four of them are being led. Now, they're tight margins, but all four are currently being led by Team Europe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Welcome all kinds here on After Hours.
Amy, what's going on, girl? Here you are, a woman holding her own in a still male-dominated profession. You're really holding your own.
Hi, Amy.
What up?
I like to think of you as my sister from another mister.
Ray is listening in Toronto.
First off, I just want to say I'm a huge fan. I listen to you all the time. And
thank you.
You've got a lot of fans up here north of the border. You're doing a great job down there.
Can I get a boom, baby?
Boom, baby!
Thank you so much. You're adorable. You make my nights wonderful. I appreciate you so much.
Halo, you rock the show.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I would love to be able to update you on what's happening at the Ryder Cup currently, but we have had a DirecTV signal loss. Is DirecTV about to be defunct? I feel as though DirecTV is on its last legs. It's a dying breed, if you will.
I don't know. I don't know enough about it. I mean, obviously losing football really, really, really hurt it. But I haven't had it in a long time. I will say, I had DirecTV. There's very few times in my life where I was ahead of the curve. DirecTV was one of the few of them, because I actually had a Prime Star, which got bought by DirecTV. Right. We're talking like 1998, 99, somewhere in that area, I went to satellite.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, every time it drizzled and you couldn't watch TV, I stopped.
Right, exactly. And so that's what happens here in the building. DirecTV is what we have access to in our studios and really here at CBS Sports Radio. It's not just us. It's all of the other local radio stations that operate in the same building and the same two floors. And we frequently lose it anytime there is a rainstorm with any ounce of wind.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of our colleagues who works at the New York affiliate, WFAN, just walked in a few minutes ago to get ready for his morning show, and he's soaked. I was having flashbacks of running a half marathon in Ophelia last Saturday. It's the same storm. It's the same storm.
You got weather.
She's parked off the East Coast and has not moved. And so this is the same storm coming around again 5 days later.
And I hear in the area in New York here, we're going to get
pounded,
beat up in the next day or two.
Up to 4 inches of rain.
Yeah. And in
crazy town.
In parts, I think more than that. I was listening to some of the local news stations as I walked by. I heard up to 6 inches in certain areas.
Oh, my goodness.
So the flash flooding around here is going to be a lot of fun.
Right. It was already pooling and standing water when I was driving in, so not a lot of fun.
And I look forward to my four-block walk to the car because I didn't realize it was raining so
umbrella?
Bad.
Oh.
No.
Do you wear sunscreen either?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm so rarely in the sun. I'm like a vampire.
Allergic to umbrellas.
Not allergic. I don't even know if I own one.
That's
I know
my kids have it. That's what you're getting for Christmas.
Yeah, but I would lose it. That's a waste.
Yeah, I would lose it.
I would lose it.
You just leave it in your car. That's where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, probably forget about it. Huh? If it's in the car, how does that help me? When I wouldn't bring it in so that I wouldn't have it until I get drenched.
That's the point. When it's raining, you grab the umbrella to walk from your car to the building.
I guess. Wouldn't help me tonight. It wasn't raining when I got here. No, it'd be pouring when I got
here. It was raining when I got here. Yeah. Goodness. So, yes, a lot more rain. It will affect college football maybe a little bit. But for the most part, by Sunday, it is supposed to finally be out of here. It's just not before dumping us with a parting gift. And by us, I just mean in the Northeast, is that's where Ophelia is, along the Atlantic coast of New England. You, too, you're in the direct line of fire. And my mom, I feel badly because my mom's in Houston. They have had a drought all summer. All summer, they've had hardly any rain. They've had no hurricanes. They've had no crazy tropical storms. So they've gotten almost nothing. And so I wish I could send some there because we've been inundated by rain in the Northeast.
Send over a couple buckets? No?
Send a couple buckets.
Does it work like
rain.
That? No?
I wish it did. Yeah, I wish it did. So, all right, coming up, we're going to we're going to jump into our week four preview through the eyes of our quarterbacks. I actually am starting to feel badly for Zach Wilson. I get it. When you're a pro athlete, this is what you sign up for. Not death threats, of course, but you sign up to be in the public eye. You get paid handsomely. And while he hasn't yet earned a free agent deal, he's still being paid like a number two overall pick. So he is making some good money, and he's got a great opportunity. And he actually makes a promise. I was actually feeling bad for him, hearing him talk about, I promise to do this to Jets fans and to Jets Nation. So that game is coming up on Sunday night. I hope that Zach gives people a reason to talk other than trailer fans. But did you hear that ticket sales for that game? So they were not going like hotcakes, as you can imagine, because the Jets are not expected to be much competition for the Chiefs. Now, we know every single week in the NFL, there are games that don't go according to plan. I mean, we could already give you examples like Cardinals, Cowboys last week would just be one of them. Anyway, ticket sales, since it was announced, I don't really know if it was announced, reported that Taylor Swift will be at MetLife on Sunday night, ticket sales have doubled. Why? Just so you can be in the same stadium as her? She's not going to sing. She's just going to be in a suite.
Which you'll have a better view from TV. I would imagine you're paying double the ticket price to sit in more traffic.
Right, not
because
just
it'll
that
be more difficult to get in and out.
In more traffic, but you likely won't even catch a glimpse of her.
That's what I mean. You'll see it better on TV because right. I'm sure that you'll see her every 3 seconds like we did last week. And this game will probably be just out of hand, just like against the Bears. So you'll see more of her.
Maybe.
Good chance that you're going to wind up with more traffic if she's got a bigger security detail to get in and out of MetLife, which is not exactly the easiest stadium to get in and out of.
No, it's really not. It's kind of set in the middle of a bunch of roads, and you have...
It's a swamp.
Yeah, exactly. You essentially have to drive in and kind of curl around, and you're just stuck.
Into the swamp.
Right.
Yes.
There's no place to go. There's no great through roads or anything like that.
Nope.
My one great story about getting to MetLife is during the pandemic when there were no fans allowed. So I, as the crow flies, I live not even 15 miles from MetLife, so mm-hmm. I'm about 15 minutes north of the stadium. And, you know, to get there with regular New Jersey traffic can easily take you a half hour. And on game days, you know, an hour and a half to go
Easy.
15 miles,
yes.
right? Yeah. So I went on a Sunday. It was a Sunday night, I believe, during the pandemic, and there was nobody there. It took me 15 minutes. That's all it took me to get to MetLife Stadium on a game night. It was outrageous. And not just that, but I drove right up. There was, I mean, forget traffic. There was like two other cars. I drove right up and parked. No joke. I could have hit the stadium with a stone if I was throwing it. I was that close and walked right in. I, as much as I thought it was eerie and kind of freaky to have not one fan in the stands, it was also pretty convenient. And I,
well, yeah, I would imagine so.
I would have signed up for that anytime.
I would imagine so.
I'd go to a lot more NFL games if I could get away with that on a Sunday
that's
night.
That's the one drawback from a lot of stadiums are difficult to get to. Not all of them. That's the one drawback, man. There are times where it's like 2 hours just to get there, mm-hmm. and you leave really early. It's not like it's 2 hours and you wind up in the second quarter. Oh, no. You're still tailgating for a couple hours before the game, but it took you 2 hours to get there anyway. It's brutal sometimes.
It is. I know people have stories about their stadiums and how hard it is to get into them. I've heard Santa Clara, the Niners situation mm-hmm. is notorious. Ever mm-hmm. since they built it, it's just mm-hmm. been a mess. But it's not the only one. There's stories everywhere.
No, like I said, it depends on where you are. Like, I mean, sometimes it's right in the middle of downtown. It's easy access in and out. I mean, you just mentioned MetLife. I mean, seriously, if you're not from around here, they put a stadium in the middle of a swampland. Now, there are major roads that go there. But they don't really go past it. You mm-hmm. have to then hook off into these tiny, like, almost like they made them out of dirt.
Their little access
through
road.
Through the swamp. Yeah. And you're like, where am I going? Going in circle over circle over circle. You don't know where the hell
they are. They're like concentric circles around the stadium. And you feel like you're just going around and around until you kind of wind up to the stadium.
It's almost, if you've ever seen European Vacation, National Lampoon's Europe. It's almost like where you can't get left. Look, kids, Big Ben. That's what it feels like. Because you can see the stadium. It's right there. But it almost feels like, look, kids, Big Ben, because you're just going in these circles constantly, over and over. And you're like, how the hell do I get from here to there? Mm-hmm. Eventually you do, kind of. And then you see the game.
And then the train is a better option, but the same thing happens. There's so many people that want to take the train. I've heard incredible stories. I've taken
but
the train
to the
stadium.
Do you have to take the bus then afterwards?
No.
But the train doesn't lead right up to it.
Yeah, it does. It actually, on game days, the train goes right to the stadium.
Huh.
You get out of the train and you are in the parking lot of the stadium.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Right.
I thought the train took you to the bus stop and then the bus Mm-mm. had to take you.
No, they do. They run special trains.
They figured
but
that out after 50 years?
Because it's wall, it's wall-to-wall bodies. And then trying to get on the train after the game is insanity.
It's like you're better off sitting in traffic.
Yeah, you are. You really are. No,
I'm more comfortable sitting in traffic, honestly.
Right. You could wait a good 20 minutes.
Let's be fair. I mean, if you've gone to enough games, I know I have. When the game is over and chances are you went there, the way the Jets and the Giants have played over the years, you're probably annoyed after the game anyway. It doesn't matter. Just spark up the grill again and do it again. Just sit in the parking lot for a couple of hours before you leave here. It's not worth it. Just you might as well get a couple of burgers in the body, in the system, and commiserate over how poorly your team did.
I've actually never tailgated at an NFL game.
Really?
I've tailgated for college football, of course, but I'm working when I go to NFL games, so I've never tailgated. Hmm. I've not gone to one for fun.
Huh.
Yeah, I've only ever worked them.
You should probably go as a fan.
You think?
Yeah, it's more fun.
But not to MetLife.
Well, I mean, again, that's up to you for whatever game you're watching.
Nah.
I happen to be a Giant fan, so if I'm going to tailgate before a game, that would be the game I would want to do it. And the one thing that MetLife has plenty of is parking lot space.
It does. It's
so
that's why all the concentric circle roads around and around and around the parking lot.
Yeah, and you get there early enough and you could take up a couple of spots with your tailgate. I mean, you try not to take up all the spots, but there's enough parking. It should be okay. You get there early enough, get it behind you have a good time. If you got the right group with you.
I will take your word for it. I just know the ticket sales have doubled since it was reported that Taylor Swift would be in the house. Because you can go and tell all of your friends you were in the same stadium as Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. To watch the Chiefs beat the Jets 41-6.
Oh, goodness. All right. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, take our poll for After Hours Game of the Week. Our TV coverage is in and out. But yes, Europe is still leading all of the matches early on at the Ryder Cup. On Twitter, I just told you Twitter. On Facebook and YouTube, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade. Cooper Kupp got it! Touchdown, L.A.!
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got it!
Yeah.
Touchdown! Joe Burrow and the Bengals!
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hand off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown! Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
The Lions have won back-to-back games, and Jared Goff is playing extremely well right now. Last week against the Falcons, had a 45-yard touchdown connection with Sam Laporta, one of his rookies. Then Goff rushes for a touchdown, his first as a Lion. So the Lions have the opportunity at Green Bay on Thursday night, and now they're feeling it. They were up by 24 points at halftime, and this is with Goff starting the game by throwing an interception. So he doesn't have to do a whole lot. The team runs the ball extremely well, 211 yards on the ground, which is obviously a QB's best friend.
When you're winning the game and you're able to run it like we were, it changes everything for us. And being able to just kind of wear them down, and also run clock, I think, our defense kept us in the game where we weren't forced to push it down the field as much as we may usually have to. And, it was good. When we can run it the way we were today and get the play action off of it, you got some drop back off of it, you got all sorts of things off of it, that's when we're at our best.
It was the opposite for the Packers, who didn't run the ball at all and were playing from behind yet again. This time they did not capture lightning in a bottle in the fourth quarter.
I think that's 2 weeks in a row that we've started really slow on offense, just haven't been able to get anything going. So we got to find out what that is, and I think everybody just has to play better. Starting the game, me included, just got to be able to come out, start fast, and put up points so we're not playing behind and it's just making it harder on the defense.
Two interceptions for Jordan Love, 5 sacks by that Lions defense. And Detroit is now on top of the NFC North at 3-1. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. The Niners, one of the undefeated still standing in the NFL. And Brock Purdy recently had a chance to meet with Dan Marino.
I was a Dolphins fan. And then I won the High School Player of the Year by the Cardinals. So I got a Cardinals Purdy jersey, actually. The one that I took a picture with Patrick Peterson in. So that was it.
Why the Dolphins?
My dad's from Florida. Born and raised Dolphin fan. It was like a generational thing. So then we were. So.
Chance to FaceTime with Dan Marino. How exciting is that?
Yeah, it was sweet. It was special. Fitzpatrick pulled out the iPad, FaceTimed Dan Marino. I was like, what? But basically I told him, like, hey, I wear 13 because of you, and my dad obviously loved watching you play, so it was a special moment for sure. He's a legend.
That's really neat. Ryan Fitzpatrick did a sit-down with Brock Purdy, and out he pulls this iPad, and Dan Marino's on FaceTime to talk to Brock. That's awesome. If you haven't seen it, it's out there on the web. It's really cool. Lots of people talking about Brock Purdy now. He's no longer being called Mr. Irrelevant, so his tight end, George Kittle, actually thinks that people should start considering him one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL.
All Brock's done is go out there and win. He does a great job at that. I mean, you can watch the tape from this last game against the Giants when he was pressured like 31 or however many snaps that was, and he did a really good job on almost all those. He does a good job. Hey, if there's not a play there and he knows he's going to get sacked, he tucks the ball. He tries to fall forward. He's been great with the football. He doesn't turn it over. He's doing everything that we need to do to win a football game. And so hey, if they want to rate him as the 20th best quarterback, they want to rate him in the top 10, I don't think he really cares. And I think that as long as he shows up every single day and he's playing the best of his ability, that's good enough for us. And, you know, we're just loving every second of him.
What is the After Hours game of the week? Is it the Cardinals at the 49ers? Right now, you do not think so, but take that poll on Twitter and Facebook. Is it Commanders-Eagles? Right now, Jalen Hurts is one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and the Eagles have a division opponent in Philly this weekend.
They're a great team, and they have great players, and obviously you want to go into every game with a certain level of intensity. And you know, respecting every opponent we play. And so, ready for the opportunity to play against them.
Other end of the spectrum, Bryce Young should start for the Panthers this weekend, who are looking for their first victory of the year. And he's got a lot of people already chirping about him.
Doesn't drive me at all. You know, again, good or bad, what people are going to say, you know, it's out of my control. Everyone, you know, people have are going to have opinions, good and bad. And I think, again, that's the beauty of sports. It's great. We get to have conversations, and people that are passionate and care get to express that. But for me, I can't control that. You know, it's not something I think about. Ultimately, I care about the opinions of the people in this building. I care about, you know, my teammates and coaches, and I trust everyone here. So that's whose opinions, and when they speak, that's, you know, who I listen to. And, you know, again, one way or another, I can't control what people say or think, so doesn't dictate my actions.
How about this? The Panthers are hosting the Vikings this weekend. So last weekend, it was the winless Chargers and the winless Vikings. Vikings are now 0-3, as are the Panthers, so one of those teams will get its first win. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
The big question is Desmond Ridder. The problem that I think a lot of fans are having and looking at Desmond Ridder is they just haven't seen enough. They want to trust him. They want to believe. But I will tell you this, Jason. In the training camp sessions that I had a chance to go check out, the one thing that bothered me was his aggressiveness to throw the football when he needed to.
Listen and subscribe to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.